Good morning, everyone. This is Steve Casey, again, very proud to be part of Civic Affairs. Very honored that WGTD and David Cole has asked me to co-sponsor this show on WGTD. Of course, I'm a longtime alderman, was on the city council for 22 years, currently own Casey Family Options Funerals and Cremations, and again, it's an honor to be here. My first two guests in my inaugural show is Jack Rose, Alderman Jack Rose from the 15th District in the city of Kenosha, and Alderman Dominic Ruffalo from the 16th District. In my mind, there was nobody else I should ask. You two are probably two of the more respected aldermen on the council, and certainly two of the wiser aldermen who I share a lot of common ground with and have always looked to you guys for some sound advice. So welcome to Civic Affairs.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Good morning.
Now, just a quick question. Maybe we'll begin with Jack. How long have you been an alderman, Jack?
Since 2014.
2014.
This is my sixth term.
Sixth term. So that'd be 12 years. Yep.
Right.
Yep. And Dominic?
2018.
2018.
18,
okay.
Yes.
Yep. Well, you've got a ways to catch up with me.
Yes, you know, I do.
Because I served for 22 years. However, it's rather disappointing that our good friend Eric Hulgard is now officially, he's in the what district? First district?
First.
Yeah, he's officially the longest serving alderman because at the conclusion of this term, it'll be 24 years, and I will have served 22 years. Now, a lot of you probably don't remember this, but remember the name George Fitchett?
Oh, yes.
George Fitchett, longtime alderman.
Yes.
He was an alderman for 28 years, but not consistently because he ran for mayor and had to step down for one term. So he was an alderman for 28 years, but not in a role. So I hold the privilege of being one of the youngest aldermen elected and one of the longest serving. So that's always been an honor. Let me ask you a question, and this could be to either one of you. What prompted you to get involved, Jack?
To be very honest with you, right coming up on the election here in 2014, I had a vacancy in the 15th district. And I did not express a lot of interest to go, but I was called and asked if I would run for alderman in the 15th district.
So in other words, nobody was running in the 15th.
Right. Michael Orth
That's
was
right.
stepping down.
That's right.
Okay. And so they were looking to fill, and I had received a call.
Did you run unopposed in 2014, or did somebody run against you?
No, in 2014, I ran against Gabe Nudo,
who at that time
was running for county board supervisor and alderman.
And I would assume a lot of the constituents probably saw that as a conflict of interest, possibly.
It was different. It was unusual.
Yeah, absolutely.
Usually not done.
Dominic, what prompted you to get involved?
Well, I had recently retired, and the alder person that I had was a long-term alder person.
Was Jesse Downing? Yep.
I always thought that he never got back to me on issues, and I thought I could do a better job. You know, I wanted to give back to the community, and I always thought I could make a difference in the community. And with my knowledge of, I retired from We Energies, that's a gas electric company. I was there 41 years, so I knew a lot. And I worked in Kenosha probably just Kenosha, about 20 years of that. So I knew the city pretty well. And I have a lot of common sense. And I ran for, it's hard to beat an incumbent, but I went door to door. One day I would run through the neighborhood, and people would be out seeing me, and then the next day I would knock on doors in the neighborhood and leave cards. So that's how I did it, and that's how I still do it.
Well, and probably a lot of people know, and maybe a lot of people don't know, that you're quite the runner.
Well, I've been doing it a number of years, and fitness is certainly part of my lifestyle now.
Yeah, absolutely. Jack, how long have you been in Kenosha now? I know you're retired military.
Right. We came back in 96.
Okay.
I had retired from the Navy 26 years in 94, and I went down and had an opportunity to work at the 96 Olympics in Atlanta.
So oh, really?
My wife and I went from Alexandria, Virginia, down to Atlanta for 2 years and then came back in 96.
Okay. Did you work in Kenosha then, or would you, this was just your retirement?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
I worked in Kenosha. I worked for a couple of years with the old Martin Peterson, became AT&T.
Sure.
And I'd also worked for a company, Advantest America, which had their North American headquarters in Buffalo Grove. And as soon as I had been there, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, they decided to move the North American headquarters to Santa Clara, California.
Okay.
So I commuted to Santa Clara for
really
4 years.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Because we had moved around enough. When we moved back to Kenosha, that was our 16th move. And I was not about to take the flag down.
Well, you're talking to a guy who's lived in the same neighborhood and on the same city block for his entire life. I've actually owned three homes on the same city block, and I currently live in the house that I was born and raised in. So I'm a real local guy. But thank you for your service. I know you're a decorated veteran, and that's maybe a topic for another show at some point. So I actually got involved. I graduated mortuary school in 86, and I came back, and I'd always wanted to be involved with politics. I always took an interest in politics, and my alderman at the time was Greg Guttormson. You remember that name?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I moved back home, and he was our neighbor living across the street, and I walked across the street one day, and I said, "Alderman Guttormson, you don't know me, but I'm John and Gail's son, and I just moved back home from mortuary school, and I'm going to run against you. But not because you're doing a bad job. I just want to get involved and have a little fun with my friends and run a campaign." And he said, "Well, here's an idea. How about I help you on your campaign?" Because he was planning on stepping down. So that's when I got involved. And I did have opposition, but it was interesting. Now, as an alderman, a lot of people don't realize that there are also committee assignments. You know, and I used to think you were required to serve on a standing committee. But if the mayor chooses not to appoint you, and that's happened in the past, former mayor Ann Aramian at one point did not appoint Alderman Polson to a standing committee, but they have a right to do that. But what are the standing committees that exist within city government?
Right now, there's finance, and there's public works, and there's public safety and welfare. And I happen to serve on public works, and we also have the Water Commission, which is part of Kenosha Water Utility.
And that usually, those two assignments kind of go hand in hand.
Yes, they do.
If you're on public works, you're also on the Water Commission.
Yes.
Okay. Are you chairman of public works now or no?
Yes.
Okay. Well, congratulations. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
And Dominic, what committees do you serve
on? I am a chairperson of the Water Commission.
Oh, really?
Water
okay.
Commission. I
Very
am
good.
A vice chair of public works. I am vice chair of licensing and permits.
Now, is that a standing committee?
Yes.
Okay.
Public works is in a lot.
So it's public works, safety and welfare,
licensing,
finance, and licensing and permits.
And there's also stormwater. I'm on the stormwater committee,
too. Very good.
Also, yes.
Yeah, very good. What do, Jack, you serve on, you said public works.
Right.
You know, what? Recap what public works committee does.
Basically, we're taking care of the infrastructure.
Yeah.
And, I also sit on the stormwater with Dominic.
Yeah.
But public works, streets, roads, garbage.
Garbage pickup.
Yeah, garbage pickup. And really on that, a few years back, it was about a $7 million investment. But we went ahead and improved our garbage pickup, recycling. We bought new vehicles, and we got into the modern age, I would say, of garbage pickup and recycling.
You know, I Dominic, you've been around Kenosha a long time.
My whole life. Yes.
Yeah, I don't. Do you remember when the garbage men used to go into the backyard and get your garbage out of your garbage cans in your backyard?
Yes, I do.
I was born and raised here.
Okay.
And they'd come through the alley.
Come through the alley. That's right. That's right. And they had the big garbage cans on wheels, and they would actually take your garbage out of your smaller can and dump it into their bigger container.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was that was a long time ago.
Yep.
I don't know when they stopped doing that. We still have, Kenosha still has alleys, but I don't think the garbage trucks go down the alleys
anymore.
No,
they're in the street now. I mean, they're too large.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You said you serve on the, what committees, Dominic?
I'm the chairman of the Water Commission.
Okay.
Public Works, I chair. I'm a vice chair of Public Works and vice chair of Licensing and Permits.
Okay. Licensing and Permit, that oftentimes is a very controversial
It's
committee to serve on.
Anything that needs a license, a bartender license, a liquor license, taxi cabs, some street closures for events, stuff like that.
Yeah. And, of course, when there's a troubled and most of the licenses that people would think of that are controversial would be tavern licenses.
Yes.
You know, there's no question about that. Taverns that have, you know, are loud or have crime in their parking lot and things like that. And that's a that can be a very controversial thing for you as
well. Yeah, since I've been on there, since I got elected, it was a couple of bars we had to shut down.
Yeah.
You know, one of them was the Red Zone. The city had bought that property after it was all said and done because of violations. And the violations kept getting worse, and they weren't going in the right direction.
Well, and the city, actually, when I came on the council back in the 80s, mm-hmm. there were riddled in the Lincoln Park neighborhood mm-hmm. were a half a dozen, eight, even 10 different bars that were very controversial and very troublesome in that neighborhood. And we ended up shutting that down. And I've always said that the city does a lot of things not so good.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be the first one to admit that. But the city has a 100% track record of shutting down troubled bars. Mm-hmm. If you're a bar owner and you're not running the bar the way you should, city's going to get your license. It's just a matter of time.
Right. That's true.
I think one thing on that, you know, as far as the shutdown and that, I do not belong, but I sit usually and just to listen, licensing a permit. And I think the tavern squad that we have now, I mean, they're doing a great
job. Yeah,
they're
A1.
They really are.
Well, and my issue when I was on the city council is there were a group of aldermen in the early days that automatically opposed liquor licenses. Mm-hmm. They didn't think they wanted to go back to the days of prohibition. And I always said, you know, there are tavern owners, you know, that have raised families, been very contributory towards charity events, very philanthropic. I mean, you talk about Jerry Rasmussen at the Bratstop. Mm-hmm. He supported all kinds of philanthropic mm-hmm. efforts. You're talking about the Hamlink family mm-hmm. at the Sunnyside Club, the Kavalauskases. Mm-hmm. They've been in the tavern business for years, mm-hmm. and they are positive businessmen, you know, who run a business the way it should be.
Right.
But it's these fringe operators that give all taverns a bad name.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
For sure. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there licenses that are at jeopardy at this point?
No, okay. none at this point. My job being on that committee, and I've told the tavern squad this, my job is to make their job easier. The committee has.
Yeah.
We don't take a lot of guff. If we see something happening and it could end up very bad, we'll bring that owner of the bar who carries that license into the committee, and we will talk to him before things get out of hand. Because once they get out of hand, it just snowballs, and then the tavern squad has to deal with trouble, and sometimes there's major trouble.
Yeah.
So we talk to them ahead of time and tell them we're watching you. Please shape up, otherwise we're going to have to do something different.
Now, besides the standing committees, there are also a whole myriad of other appointments that you could be appointed to. Airport Commission, Museum Board, things like that, aren't there?
Yes.
There's a number
yeah.
of different
yes.
other things.
Yes.
One other really addition since about, I guess, 2015, we now have a Kenosha Hometown Heroes Commission.
Correct, yep.
And we have a standing commission that reviews inputs on a quarterly basis. We select a Kenosha Hometown Hero for the quarter, and then at the end of the year, we select a Kenosha Hometown mm-hmm. Hero for the year.
Yeah,
and it's
absolutely.
Just been a neat opportunity to look at some of the people that live in Kenosha, the residents,
mm-hmm.
you know, that their service and what they've done.
And what are some of the ancillary appointments that you're on, Jack? You're on the Heroes Committee.
Yeah, and that's the only one,
okay.
plus the...
Yeah, Dominic, do you serve another?
I'm on a city plan commission.
Okay.
So that's that meets every other week. Somebody wants to open up a business in town, it goes in front of the city plan commission, and we review it, so...
and make sure that the zoning is proper make sure it's a conducive business to the area.
Yeah, it fits in the neighborhood and or if there's a new business coming in.
You know, I got to tell you, when I was elected in 88, I was so thrilled to be 26 years old and on the Kenosha City Council. Mm-hmm. And at the time, Pat Moran was the mayor. Mm-hmm. You know, he served, didn't quite serve one term. And I had supported him early in the campaign, and I could never say no to him. And I think for the first 4 years that I was served as an alderman, I can't tell you how many committees I served on the airport commission, to this commission, mm-hmm. to that commission. I don't think, and it was in the early days of my marriage, I think I was gone 3 or 4 nights a week. What are the time issues that are involved with the council? Besides, the council meets the first and third Mondays of the month, and then when do the committee meetings meet?
Just on the opposite.
But, of course, all your other appointments that you may be involved with also meet during the week as well. And,
yes.
That's and I know you're always asked to be at certain functions, certain dinners and things like that.
Yes.
You kind of got to use your discretion as to how involved you want to be.
Yeah, you're certainly not in it for the money. You're certainly in it to give back to the community, and you care about the community, and you want to serve the community. You don't do it for money because it's not.
What do aldermen make in a given year?
I think it's.
I know.
He knows.
I think it's like $7,200.
I think it's $7,200. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's.
Yeah, and of course that's considered part-time. Aldermen are part-time.
Yes.
There was a movement years ago, you know, to make aldermen a full-time mm-hmm. position. You know, and that was probably 20 or 25 years ago, back in the 90s, I think, early 2000s. Of course, the mayor is a full-time position.
Yes.
You know, and isn't, in the absence of a mayor, who fills in?
That would be the president of the council.
Council president,
mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's had that here during 2020. When, you know, we had sometimes David Bugdahl at the time was president, and he filled in for the mayor.
Who is council president now?
Jan Mahalski.
Mahalski, okay. Yep. And it usually, have you both been council president yet?
No.
Okay, well, I would assume you're on the radar because generally it comes with seniority.
Yeah, right.
You know, is basically how that works.
Yep, it does.
I was council president, I don't even remember. Back in the 90s, I think, at some point. And generally, it's more of a honorary thing anyways. There are some responsibilities that, you know, you have to live up to, like you said, in the absence of the mayor. Mm-hmm. And, of course, if there would be a health-related issue with the mayor, then you actually step in as the mayor.
Yes.
You know, and I believe the city has a protocol where if the mayor were to be not able to fulfill his job either through death or through illness— there's a protocol that's in place to fulfill that position, right? I think the council can either vote on appointing somebody or have a special election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe you're correct.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I think so.
Yep.
Okay. There was, in fact, a couple of times, and I don't want to blindside you, there were two times in my tenure on the city council that I actually introduced term limits. You know, now this is funny from a guy who served 22 years, but I also thought, Dominic, you had made the comment earlier that it's very difficult to beat an incumbent.
It is.
You know, because of the name recognition and whatnot. And I introduced term limits, and I wanted the alderman to be a 3-year term, and you could run for 2 terms. Mm-hmm. So you could be around in for 6 years. Mm-hmm. And my thinking was that if you have an agenda and you know what you want to do, you ought to be able to get it done in 6 years. Mm-hmm. Then you need to step down, let somebody else run. You can always run again, but it could be for 6 years. Mm-hmm. How do you guys feel about now you've been around a long time, both of you. How do you feel about term limits?
I think that they are appropriate. I really do. Now,
would you ever go so far as to introduce that, Jack?
I'd have to think about that, but, you know, why not? And I think, you know, if you can do them, they keep talking about federal officials, term limits, congressional term limits.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we're right at the get-go.
I never thought that the forefathers designed this country as public service being a career. I always thought public service was just that, a career.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, all the farmers would get together and say, okay, Dominic, it's your time to be the congressman.
Yeah.
Well, I got crops in the field. Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay. We'll help your family farm them. You go to Washington, yeah. D.C. He'd come back, and now, Jack, it's your mm-hmm. turn.
Yeah.
And that's what the forefathers had designed. And I just don't think public service should be a career,
mm-hmm.
you know. But a local level is different, of course.
Yeah, and I think also in today's day and age, I think to find the people that want to do it, that want to serve, you know,
right.
like Dom said, you know, he's lived Kenosha his whole life. I yeah. feel like I've been here my whole life, too. And, you know, we want to serve, but you have right. to find the people that want to do mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, absolutely. What is one of the biggest challenges that you face as an alderman, Jack?
I think the biggest thing is to be responsive and be an advocate for your constituents. I really believe that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we get involved on the different committees and we do things, and that helps the entire community. But you're elected by the people.
Yeah.
You're elected, you know, to be good stewards of the money and to provide
Absolutely.
A leadership to the city. And then you also owe something to the people that are in your district.
Yeah. Absolutely. Again, I am Steve Casey. I am the co-host of Civic Affairs, a program designed to promote good citizenship with a focus on how you can get more involved in the political process. And joining me today are, again, Jack Rose, Alderman of the 15th District, and Dominic Ruffalo, Alderman of the 16th District. Dominic, what are some of the biggest challenges that you see as an alderman?
The biggest challenge is sometimes something's better for the city of Kenosha, but not better for my district.
That's always a tweener. Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
The casino, for an example.
Oh boy. Okay.
The closer you are to the proposed casino, the least you like it. the idea.
Yeah.
So people far away from my district, they say, man, that casino is a good idea. You know, they're going to give the city this
But
money.
They don't have to live next to it.
They don't have to live next to
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So it's my job to make sure, because it passed. Now it's my job to make sure that the casino and the casino operators do everything they told us to do and to be good neighbors in the community.
Well, I never supported the casino as good economic development, but that's a whole other story. Jack?
No, I think the thing going on right now is the whole issue with sci-fi. And our yeah. internet, that's going on. We have mm-hmm. been dealing yeah. with that for a couple of years now. We've been planning, and this is supposed to be finished 2025 this year. And that has really created a lot of issues from our constituents,
mm-hmm. right.
from throughout the community.
Yeah, I've heard it from a lot of people.
Right.
And
Absolutely.
We really have to do we yeah. to try to, I don't know, try to improve the restoration of the work that is being done to bring sci-fi to yeah. Kenosha.
I think as an alderman, the most important thing, and I know you both will concur with this, is being responsive to your constituency.
Yeah.
You remember the late, great Joe Andrea,
mm-hmm.
Senator, State Senator Joe Andrea.
My neighbor.
Yeah, absolutely. He took me aside when I was first running, and he said, you have to respond to your constituents. If it's a phone call, if it's someone knocking on your door, you have to get back to them within 24 mm-hmm. hours. And if you get back to people within 24 hours, they'll keep reelecting mm-hmm. you. And that's exactly the case. And you both, maybe you know this, maybe you don't. I had the worst attendance record for meetings in the history of the city council. I had a difficult time making meetings sometimes. And it was, of course, partially because I'm a funeral director. You know, and there were funerals in the evening, and there were death calls that I had to go on. Some was because of my wife early on in my political career was diagnosed with breast cancer, so I stayed home a lot to take care of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't have a very attractive attendance record. I know you both are almost 100%, mm-hmm. but I was very responsive to my constituent, and they sent me back 11 times
yeah.
down to City Hall. So. But so that's certainly a plus. When it, go ahead, Jack.
No. I just, yeah. as I said, for this responsiveness,
yeah.
you have to,
yeah.
you have
now,
to do that.
Now, have you both had opposition in the years in the past? Dominic?
Yes.
Yes, you've had opposition, I think, almost times, every time. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Jack?
I had one election and had primary that did that whole route, but that was only on one election.
Okay. Yeah, I had opposition almost every time, I believe. You know, and I personally loved running a campaign. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you guys are diligent campaigners. Mm-hmm. I know that. Mm-hmm. You know, but what constitutes a good campaign? What do you do, Dominic, to get your message out there?
I go door to door, every door. I knock on the door, but with Ring cameras and stuff, and people don't normally open their doors. So I leave a hanger, and then I have a jacket with my name on the back. So when I leave their house, I wave, and you know they can see it says Ruffalo on the back of my jacket, so they know I was there.
Jack?
Same thing. Yeah. You got to knock on doors. You got to put a hanger out. My son, I wear a vest. It's got Rose on it. You wear that when you go out, or if you just go out for ride your bike through the.
I used to pray for rain, and then I would campaign in the rain, because if you're knocking on someone's door with an umbrella, they know that you must be serious about wanting to be an alderman. And I used to. This is a funny story real quick. I was a bartender at the time when I was running for alderman, and my shift was at 6 o'clock, and I'd immediately hit the bricks to go campaign, and I would pound on this guy's door every day, my routine, at about 6:30. And after about the third time, he answered the door and said, "Casey, I told you I'm going to vote for you. If you knock on my door again during Wheel of Fortune, I'm never going to vote for you." So I stopped pounding on his door, but you're absolutely right. You absolutely have to pound on doors and do yard signs. You've both done yard signs.
Correct.
You know, and you do fundraisers. How do you fund a campaign?
I don't. I self-fund. But here's what I do. On election day, I walk up and down the street with one of my campaign signs. Sometimes it's raining. Sometimes it's really raining. Like I go down, I don't go near the polling places. I keep my distance, but I go on major thoroughfares, and people will see me. You know, who's that guy walking around with that sign? You know, well, just, he's running for office. So my name's on it, and I'm up and down the street, up and down Highway 50, and I've been doing that at every election.
Yeah. So. Jack, you put up yard signs.
I sure do. The first election when I was just. The rookie, the new guy. I had a fundraiser at Infocinos.
Okay.
And that's the only one I've
on 39th Avenue there. Yeah, okay. Well, that's in your district.
Yeah, it used to be. Now it's absolutely shifted.
Yeah, I had a number of fundraisers at the Sunnyside Club. Hmm. Of course, the Sunnyside Club was a half a block outside of my district, but of course, you know, that's where I was bartending at the time and the Hamlinks were very supportive of my efforts as well. So any advice to people, and we've got just a couple of minutes left, any advice to people who want to get involved and who may not want to run for alderman? How do you get involved with civic affairs? What do you do?
I think, personally, I've been involved with the National Alliance on Mental Illness for 20 years. And so we're an all-volunteer, and I don't know if you want to put it under civic affairs, but it takes care. We try to, you know, take care of the people that live with a mental illness, give them a better quality of life, and we've done this through all volunteers since 1983. Yeah. And so I'd recommend people get involved.
Yeah, Dominic, any advice?
I would say go to common council meetings, like I did before I got elected, so you could see what you're in for, and if you choose to like it. And then you know exactly what your job is going to be.
Well, I've actually always encouraged people to even run for alderman, even in my district when I was an alderman. I love talking about different ideas and promoting what I believe in. And once again, I'd like to thank both of you for being here. Jack Rose from the 15th District and Dominic Ruffalo from the 16th District, both very intelligent guys, and you were my first two go-to people on our first edition of Civic Affairs. And again, I appreciate you both for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Any final words of wisdom?
Be safe.
Be safe.
I might not be the smartest guy on the council, but I got a lot of common sense. So.
There you go. Once again, thank you for both being on my inaugural show, and maybe we'll have you back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.